Pirate Umbra U7501. Rochelle System.
Damage report.
John ordered once he was assured the newfound calm would remain.
Minor damage to port side aft,
Alex stated after observing his station monitor, almost exhaling a sigh of relief as he did.
It was a direct hit, but still only one missile.
John silently let out a breath of his own.
If that had been a bean cannon shot instead?
God damn it! Davis cursed. God damn it! The bridge's attention turned to the helmsman's fit. Alex rolled his eyes.
I don't think the Lord Almighty would appreciate such misuse of his name, Davis.
Screw you, Alex! Davis growled to the younger Flint. Don't you realize what just happened?
We fell through a time warp to prehistoric Terra,
Alex dryly commented.
Seriously, it was nothing.
It wasn't nothing, Alex! Davis nearly bellowed. We should be dead. We should be dead and gone.
But we're not. So for the love of all creation, calm down.
Alex commanded in warning.
Losing control now will just make it easier for the imps.
Davis waved his hands toward the viewscreen. Haven't you been watching? It's already easier, he hollered. If we so much as take a glancing blow from a beam cannon shot or torpedo, we're finished. And as good as I am, I can't dodge everything. Eventually, one of their shots will get through, invisible or not. The helmsman looked around to the rest of the crew. I say we drop the cloak and go at them straight on again, shields raised and all. Eyes widening in shock briefly, Alex settled into a dangerous glare.
And with that, you just crossed the line.
The younger Flint growled as he reached for his pistol. Alex was only stopped when Anna raised her hand toward him.
We still need him,
she reminded Alex, her own gaze holding disgust at the prospect.
Unfortunately.
Besides, the runt has a point, one of the crewmen spoke up. Why are we fighting like this when we can fight the bastards up front? He remarked. I mean, we really held out the first time.
Alex didn't need to look around to see the nods from the other crewmen.
Not good. And in doing so, we took a serious beating, all with a previously damaged main power system.
Alex shot back, fixing his glare on the new speaker.
For all we know, the shields will collapse the moment we bring them back online again.
But we don't know that, do we? Another pointed out. The shields could just as easily hold as they did the first time.
And if they don't, we're ashes,
Anna added.
At least we know we'll hold out this way.
Not if they keep shooting down our torpedoes and fixing our position, we won't,
the first man shouted.
We'll never sink those ships if our weapons can't even reach.
We still have four torpedoes, a third spoke up. Surely the imps can't shoot them all down.
One of the original speakers fixed the newcomer a glare.
The imps shouldn't even be able to hit us, and yet they have and still can,
he growled in turn.
I didn't sign on for this job to wind up vaped.
Do we even have to fight at all?
A fourth crewman pointed out.
Can't we just go to arc speed and disappear in the manner this thing was meant for?
Are you mad?
The first shot back.
We do that, Maynard will just come after us again,
he exclaimed in a near panic.
I say we keep up the fight, but we do it in a way that works.
You mean fight in the front and open?
The third man retorted, sounding almost offended.
Some Umberman you are.
Why be invisible when we can be invincible?
The previous man responded in near vehemence. Alex groaned.
Again, we don't know how long the shields will...
Can we at least have a vote on this?
The second interrupted. That one only made Alex visibly angrier.
No, because this isn't a bloody town hall. You're being paid to follow orders, not practice democracy.
Whose orders?
Davis spoke up again, this time more challengingly to Alex.
Last I checked, your brother isn't a real captain, and you're not a real XO.
And you think you're better qualified, Davis?
Alex challenged, looking ready to shoot the incipient helmsman.
Last I checked, the closest you ever got to command was feeling up your CO's wife.
That caused Davis's own face to twist with rage.
Even she would have done better than you two!
The words, threats, and outcries only continued from there, to the point that it all seemed to blend together, forming a whirlwind of sound and thunder that reverberated across the bridge. Purposely ignoring the exchange, but looking out for any signs of impending mutiny, John tapped his chair's sidearm panel and triggered a holographic map of the Rachelle system to form in front of him. If anything, the surrounding tension gave him a suitable amount of time to develop a more elaborate plan. Observing the three-dimensional display, John saw that they were still close to the Rachelle debris field, and that the Ranger and Relentless, when they pressed the offensive, had moved in closer as well. For the moment, the two cruisers were holding course, evidently awaiting the U-7501's next attack so they could re-triangulate. Clearly, they had no other tactics to utilize, as John had half expected. Even so, he knew that nothing would be gained by another direct assault, as the imps had more than enough firepower to shoot down any torpedoes or missiles before they hit. That made John consider firing all four of his torpedoes closer in, at a range that gave the imps very little time to react. Ultimately, he rejected the option. To get close enough for that to work, he would expose his own ship to immediate counterattack. He would have little time and space to evade, and would only be able to target one of the cruisers at that distance. Thus, John looked over the debris field again, bringing up the related readout. As the wreckage was only several minutes old, and had been formed by the detonation of nuclear fission devices, there were several pockets of radiation present. This combined with the abundance of metal and rock significantly limited sensor scans, forming a series of blots across the display. Even the U-7501's state-of-the-art sensors appeared incapable of scanning the blots in depth. And if his ship was having trouble with that task, then John had little doubt that the cruiser's more rudimentary systems would have even more difficulty.
It will do,
John thought as he shut down the display, his strategy now fully developed and ready to execute. He looked at his still squabbling crew and uttered one word.
Enough.
The bickering only continued, John's order seemingly unnoticed. Seeing this, John felt his own ire rise.
I said enough,
he repeated, his voice now resonant as darkness emanated from him, causing the bridge to become cold and shadowed. Immediately detecting the sharp decrease in light and temperature, the bridge occupants ceased their squabbling and turned to face their apparent captain. Most, namely Davis, holding expressions of fear and uncertainty. For his part, Alex looked at his brother with a furtive glance, his eyes projecting an unspoken remark concerning John's sense of timing. John noticed the glance but ignored it, moving on as the darkness diminished.
This is our new plan.
Tapping the armrest control once more, the view screen flickered to project the same map John had been reading earlier. Davis took note of the highlights in the display.
Into the debris field again? He spoke with exasperation. But Maynard already figured that plan out.
Which is precisely why we won't be following it.
John sharply expounded, his voice holding an underlying message for Davis to be silent and listen before he wound up shot. When John saw the helmsman comply, he went on.
We will be entering the field, but not to take cover.
He tapped another key, bringing up the schematic of the U-7501 that had the four loaded torpedo tubes highlighted.
Rather, we will be depositing two of our torpedoes at this point.
He indicated one of the radiation pockets.
And place them on standby.
The Elder Flint went on.
The torpedo's inactivity alongside the abundant radiation and debris will shield them from the Ranger and Relentless's sensors. Thus, they will not see them coming until it's too late.
Won't the imps just shoot them down again when they do?
One of the crewmen inquired. John allowed himself to smirk now, albeit only slightly.
They won't be in a position to.
He adjusted the viewscreen map to appear from the side.
Once we leave the field, we will move here.
He highlighted another point, one some distance away, in all geometric angles from the field.
And stage another attack. Naturally, the imps will give chase, and by doing so, they will be putting themselves in an open position, facing directly away from the debris field.
At which point, we will re-engage the torpedoes we left behind and nail the bastards in the stern.
Alex finished, anticipation appearing in his eyes now, an image that soon became prevalent among the rest of the crew.
We'll be shooting them up the ass, one of the crewmen exclaimed. Mother of Terra, that's brilliant!
Davis, however, remained skeptical. What if we can't re-engage the torpedoes? He asked, gesturing toward the map. I mean, won't the radiation interfere with our signal?
Our transceiver should be powerful enough to reach.
Alex spoke as he retook his seat.
And if not, I'll program a time delay. As a backup, if the torpedoes don't receive our signal, they will activate by themselves.
John looked at the helmsman one more time.
Is that a satisfactory plan to you, Mr. Davis?
He asked sardonically.
Or perhaps you, being closest of our number to a real captain, have a more prudent strategy.
Knowing whatever disagreement he stated, not that he had any, would end with him being shot, or worse, Davis did the only thing he could do. All right then, he said with renewed vigor as he turned back to the helm, setting course for Point Alpha. John watched with satisfaction as the bridge returned to their stations, ready for the next stage.